I'd like to read from the book of the Acts in chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. We'll read from verse 27. Acts 8, and that's page 1314. Verse 27, and he rose up and went, and lo, an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a man in power under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was over all her treasure, who had come to worship at Jerusalem, was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit said to Philip, approach and join this chariot. And Philip, running up, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, dost thou then know what thou art reading of? And he said, how should I then be able unless someone guide me? And he begged Philip to come up and sit with him. Passage of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb is dumb in presence of him that shears him, thus he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment has been taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answering Philip said, I pray thee, concerning whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other? And Philip, opening his mouth and beginning from that scripture, announced the glad tidings of Jesus to him. And as he went along the way, they came upon a certain water, and the eunuch says, behold, water, what hinders my being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop. They went down both to the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. But when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no longer, for he went on his way rejoicing. And Philip was found at Azotus. Passing through, he announced the glad tidings to all the cities till he came to Caesarea. I wonder how far any one of us would be prepared to travel in order to find satisfaction of soul. How far would any of us go in order to come to a situation where we established a personal link with the Lord Jesus as a Savior? This man that I've read of, he came from Ethiopia and traveled all the way to Jerusalem. It's reckoned that in biblical times, that would have been about 1,500 miles. 1,500 miles. He was a wealthy man. He was over the Queen's treasury. Probably we would have called him in our language the Chancellor of the Exchequer. He was wealthy. So it was no problem for him to undertake this journey. But it indicated that deep down in his heart, despite his wealth, despite his high position of office, there was something that he felt was missing. And he wanted to get that something that was missing. He wanted it above all. He must have heard about Jerusalem and the ongoings in Jerusalem. And he undertook this journey to go to Jerusalem. He arrived there, not told what he did there, whether he went to the synagogue or to the outer buildings of the temple, we're not sure. We're not told that he met any of the apostles there, and they were there in Jerusalem at the time. But he leaves Jerusalem, and he's on his return journey. There's another man, Philip. Philip, if we went back to chapter 6, we would discover that Philip and Stephen, along with five others, were chosen by those in Jerusalem to look after certain services. Now we know what happened to Stephen. Stephen was brought into the praetorium and he gave a full outline of the history of Israel and how they had eventually come to reject the Savior. And as a result, he was taken outside the city and stoned until he was dead. That was Stephen. And that was the moment when a great persecution of Christians arose and Christians had to flee from Jerusalem. And obviously, Philip must have fled as well. And he found himself in a city of Samaria. And what was he doing there? He was preaching that Jesus was the Christ. And the result of his preaching was that many persons in that city came personally to know the Lord Jesus and to own him as Savior. And that little section in chapter 8 finishes with, and there was great joy in the city. You think of it, a Jew taking the glad tidings to Samaritans. And there was no intercourse between Jews and Samaritans. But anyhow, the gospel was carried by Philip, and God blessed it, and the city was filled with joy. You might say, well, Philip will want to linger there a while. Ah, but Philip got a word from the Lord. He says, I want you to go down to Gaza, which is desert, down to Gaza. That's all he said. He didn't tell Philip what was going to happen. He just says, I want you to go down to Gaza. And Philip, in obedience, went. You think of it. There he had, in a great city that had brought the news of salvation to and was blessed. And then he was told to leave it, down to Gaza. And he's in Gaza. I don't know how long he was there, but one day he looks up and there's a cloud of dust, bound to be, the desert. And it appears, a chariot appears. And there wouldn't just be one chariot, because this was a very important man. There would be a retinue, a caravan of chariots. And the Spirit of God says to Philip, Philip, I want you to join this chariot. And he runs. True evangelist, he runs. He runs alongside this chariot. And he must have been listening, because he heard in that chariot the eunuch who was there, well, not given his name, the eunuch was reading from the scriptures, from the Old Testament. And the passage that he was reading was from what we call Isaiah 53. And if you've never read Isaiah 53, go home tonight and read Isaiah 53. Because that chapter, Isaiah 53, is full of one man. And that man is the Lord Jesus Christ. What an opportunity. Here's Philip on the one hand, just having been to a great city and brought blessing, and this eunuch on the other, been to Jerusalem, no mention of him speaking to the apostles, no mention of him finding this satisfaction of soul, he's still looking for something. Is this going to be an opportunity when he will get that something? What was he reading? The passage of this, Philip says to him, dost thou then know what thou art reading of? Do you understand what you're reading? And he says, well, how should I unless someone guide me? Quite often we read things and we don't understand them. And he said, he begged Philip to come up and sit with him. What a meeting. What a meeting. Well-dressed man, wealthy man, officer of the Queen Candace, and Philip the evangelist. And they're up there in the chariot. And the passage of the scripture which he read was this. Beautiful, isn't it? He was led as a sheep to slaughter. and as a lamb is dumb in presence of him that shears him, thus he opens not his mouth. Who was this? This was the Lord Jesus. The prophet, in penning that chapter, gives us line after line of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. Part of it was, he was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb is dumb, presence of him that shears him. You think of this analogy between the Lord Jesus, the Son of God that we sung of, and a sheep led to slaughter. The same one who created the worlds around us. The same one who brought the stars, the sun, the moon, the stars into being, created all the beauty of creation. That blessed one came down here in order, through his sufferings and death, as we sung our hymn, to redeem the sinner, you and I. We spoke about the journey that the eunuch undertook to find satisfaction of soul. But there's one who undertook a greater journey, a journey that took him from heaven's highest heights, from the glory of that scene in heaven, down to this earth, to Bethlehem's manger. You think of it, the babe who was wrapped there in swaddling clothes, none less than the Son of God. That's where he came down to, but he went down further. He went to Calvary's cross. He endured the sufferings of Calvary. He finished the work that he was given to do, did it all. It is finished. He then delivered up his spirit and went into the domain of death. Was there any resistance? He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb is dumb in presence of him that shears him, he opened not his mouth. Yes, during that pathway here, he had opened his mouth. They had admired the words of grace that came out of his mouth. That was the Lord Jesus, also quoting from the prophet Isaiah. And here he is. Philip just finds him in a green spot in that book of Isaiah. And he uses it in view of telling him the story of the glad tidings. In his humiliation, his judgment has been taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Is that the finish? His life is taken from the earth? Oh no. Since that death, since his rising again, because he didn't remain in death, he rose from the grave. Since that, many are able to declare his generation, having come to faith, not only in a Christ who suffered in Calvary, but in a Christ who went into death and broke its power. And it says, I pray thee, concerning whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other? Philip, opening his mouth, beginning from that scripture, announced the glad tidings of Jesus to him. There he is in the city of Samaria, preaching the Christ. Here he is in this chariot, preaching one-to-one to the eunuch the glad tidings concerning Jesus. I wonder what he told them about. Would he have told them about some of the miracles that the Lord Jesus did here? Some of the wonders that he wrought? The touch of healing? The forgiveness of sinners? Touching the leper? Raising the dead? I think he would have touched on some of these things. But above all, he would have touched on that mighty work at Calvary's cross, when all the burden of sin was put on the Lord Jesus, was put on Jesus on that cross. Not just what men did and how much they did in ridicule and scorn concerning the Lord Jesus. These first 3 hours shows it. These nails are proof of it. They were hammered into his hands and his feet. But above all, these last 3 hours, when he was made sin, I think the Philip would have touched on these things. That was how far the Savior came, from Godhead's glory down to Calvary's depth of woe, announcing the glad tidings of Jesus to him. We're not given the whole story, because somewhere along the telling of that story, the eunuch must in faith have come to a personal knowledge of this Lord Jesus. As he drank in the wonder and beauty of the man of Isaiah 53, it must have dawned on him what I didn't find in Jerusalem, what I didn't find in the synagogue, what I didn't find because I never saw the apostles. I found it in this blessed person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonder if you've found it. If you found joy in your heart, as in simple trusting faith, you've placed your faith in the man of Isaiah 53, in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, he announced the glad tidings of Jesus to him. And as they went along the way, they came upon a certain water, and the eunuch says, behold, water, what hinders my being baptized? And so it goes on. The baptism. You know, baptism doesn't take a soul to heaven. Baptism is simply an outward expression of an inward change in here. But that inward change in a soul coming to know the Lord Jesus and finding salvation in him, and finding salvation in his shed blood at Calvary, that is what secures a soul's eternal salvation. Baptism. And the man went on to be baptized, and Philip went down with him and baptized him. But baptism doesn't take you to heaven. Baptism is for here on earth, an outward display that the man that you've come to know, the Lord Jesus Christ, means so much to you that you seek to be identified with him in the pathway of shame and reproach here. What a story this is, you know. And Philip's stay with this man wasn't for too long, but his stay was long enough to impart an impression, such an impression of the Lord Jesus, such an impression of the man of Isaiah 53, that this eunuch opened his heart to him. And when he saw water, he said, I just want to be like him as he was here. And so he went down into the water with Philip, and he came up. What does it say? Eunuch saw Philip no longer. Philip goes one way. The Lord caught away Philip. Eunuch heading back to Ethiopia, a changed man. It says he went on his way rejoicing. Oh, that's lovely. Can you remember that time when you came to know the Lord Jesus, personally and Savior, and the joy that filled your heart, whether it was in the gospel preaching or whether it was somewhere else? Right there in that chariot, not in Jerusalem, in that chariot was where the eunuch met Christ. C.S. Lewis, who wrote many Christian books, he went on a journey with his brother, and he was in the sidecar. And he said, when I stepped into the sidecar, I was without Christ. But when I stepped out of it at the end of the journey, Christ was mine. Oh, to be able to say, Christ is yours, Christ is mine, and to go on your way rejoicing. Last week, we read about a man who left the Lord sad and grieved at the word. Here's a man who's not leaving the Lord, but he's going on his way rejoicing. Oh, may we all be such that as we have a fresh look at the Saviour, we also go on our way rejoicing, and may God bless the world.